Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
If you could go anywhere, where would it be?
Dude, that's a good question. Probably to the Galapagos Islands.
Well, I'm not sure you'd be able to go there using our topic today.
Possibly not.
We're talking lock and key. And there's a key that Ryan told me about that unlocks any door you've ever seen by just opening a door and you can just go there. And that's like the best thing that's ever. That's like the ultimate key. But I don't think you could go to Galapagos. I don't think that there's any sort of door in Galapagos.
I'll just put a door in the sand.
Yeah.
There it is.
So we're talking lock and key, and we're also talking how Nintendo became Nintendo.
And a little bit of Disney.
The lie that made Nintendo.
I think that might actually be the title. Made, not created.
And that should be the title because it's true.
Yeah.
We're Nerdversation.
Nerdversation. Have you ever started a business venture or told a slight fabrication to maybe further something along that ended up being actually really well in the like well founded in the end, even though it wasn't quite correct? I know that's a weird question. Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're saying whatsoever.
Yeah. Maybe like when you're a kid and you have a lemonade stand, you're like, oh, this is the best lemonade. We use fresh squeezed lemons, but actually it came from like Country Time.
Like, where are you going with this?
Like, yeah, it's a lie, but
it's a weird way to get around
this. Kind of a lie, you know. Anyways, so I was watching a video.
What is happening?
Well, this is just how I'm starting the episode. This is what happens when you make me be the topic leader. Regularly, my segues aren't even segues. I just have to start from nothing, and they start as weird old man anecdotes because that's what I am.
Listen, Paul, get off your segues.
So yeah, I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and it's from IGN. Uh-huh. If you want to check it out, and it was called "The Lie That Started Nintendo," I believe is what it was called. Now, that in itself is wrong because Nintendo's been around forever. However, it was a really interesting video, and I almost told you about it the other day, but I wanted to tell you about it on air, and I asked you, and you agreed. So
maybe it's not the lie. It's say the title again.
I don't remember the title. It was a while ago. I watched it. I think it was the lie that started Nintendo. But
so maybe it's the lie that gave Nintendo their name.
Maybe. I don't know.
Or the lie that really built Nintendo. I don't know anything about it. I'm just making guesses here.
Yeah, no, I'm great with that. All right, so sit back and get ready for me to regale you with a very shortened version of this tale. Because it's a 20-minute video, but I'm going to keep it down to like 3 minutes probably. So there's a dude who owned a small electronic shop in Sweden. I can't remember his full name, but I think Bergstrom was his last name. But so he's
in Sweden.
Yeah, in Sweden. So he went to Southeast Asia to look for new stuff to sell at his electronic shop. And he found these little handheld LCDs from Nintendo. Like, do you remember the Tiger Toys LCDs where like it was a small screen and you had a couple of buttons on the left and a couple on the right?
Yes.
And they were just stupid games, but they were way fun and you needed them in the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
Well, I guess Nintendo made those in the early 80s. So he found them, bought one on a whim, played it the whole plane ride home. He had a layover and had to end up taking a bus. He played it the whole bus ride home, and he loved this stupid game. And so he called Nintendo, because that was who it was made by. He like tried to find out who it was from, couldn't find it. Finally did, called Nintendo in Japan, and said, hey, I absolutely love this, and I want to do more. And basically he sent over a fax to him and said, hey, I'm a distribution house and I want to be your sole distributor in Sweden. Well, he ran an electronic shop, like a Radio Shack. He wasn't a distribution center. But he told him he lied. And so they sent him, I don't remember how many units, but some crazy amount of units, and he sold three.
So it's the lie that produced Nintendo.
Maybe. So then he wanted to get further and be like the sole distribution center for Sweden and possibly Europe. So he goes over not on a whim, but he doesn't announce that he's coming over. And all sorts of troubles befall him, and he can't get in. And he said, well, screw it, I'm just going to stay an extra few days. He pushes his way through the door and meets up with just some random board member and talks to him and doesn't let him leave until it's time to eat. And then the guy's like, well, hey, do you want to go to lunch? So, because he has these like random crazy rules for dealing with Japanese businessmen.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is go to lunch. So he goes to lunch. They talk for hours. They get totally wasted and they're talking and having a good time and whatever. And he's like, okay, well, we'll take a taxi and I'll drop you back off at your place or whatever. Fine. So when they get back to his hotel, one of his other rules is always have a gift. So he's like, oh, hang on a second. I've got something for you, whatever. So he runs up to his room, gives the guy the gift. Yeah. He's still totally wasted. And he's like, you know, whatever, here's a gift. You're great. I love Nintendo, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, okay, you can have Sweden. So now he's the sole distributor for Sweden, right? Which is bonkers because he owns like a Radio Shack. So he ends up getting like 13,000 units of these LCD games, sells them, starts going crazy with them. Sweden actually at one point is selling 180,000 of these games a month.
Jeez.
He's selling more in a month than Germany is doing in a year of these same things. It's going crazy up there.
Is he very popular in Sweden or something?
I guess. So he's like a hero or something, man. You'll have to watch the video. But then he goes back and the games start petering out. He sees the Famicom, which is the predecessor to the NES, in Japan. And he's like, hey, you've got to make a version for the Western Hemisphere. And they're like, no, we can't. It's kind of funky, blah, blah, blah. And he pressures them for a couple of years. And they have a Famicom version that comes out for Sweden. They start playing it. It gets mad popular. And then Japan's like, wow, this could work in the West. And they start making the NES and they start selling it in the States and then in Europe and everywhere else. So this man kind of single-handedly really brought Nintendo over to the West and popularity because he lied and said he was just some dude that owned like a Radio Shack.
Who says lying can't lead to good things, right?
Dude, you've got to watch the video. I did a terrible job of that interesting.
You didn't send it to me. You should send it to me.
I will. It's great, man.
Share it. Yeah.
You can dude, post it awesome. With this episode or after dude, it. You can post the link.
I bet you there is so much stuff like that that actually happens where it almost didn't happen and then it was fine.
There were so many random weird obstacles and just coincidences.
That's like, okay, so literally the definition of online gaming all happened the way that we know it today. All stems from a last split second decision by a no name, no experience game designer on GoldenEye, and he created that four player
right,
like basically against each other. Like that wasn't even approved. They didn't approve that. He just was like, let's throw this in here. Like the last week before it was supposed to be sent out, he just did it. He just like threw it in. And because of that last-second decision that wasn't even approved, that he just threw together by, again, some guy who had zero experience because there's something like 13 guys on the team and only one of them actually had game-making experience.
That's
the
crazy.
Rest were complete newbies.
That
and
is crazy.
They made one of the biggest games of all time. And that guy created multiplayer.
Yeah, dude, single-handedly. That dude should be like a multi-billionaire if he's not.
Yeah. Yeah, right? And like... Because Bond is, and like because that multiplayer, like all the, like the ridiculousness with slappers only and rockets only and all the other dumb things that you can do, the reason it was like that is basically he was just like, what would just kind of be fun? Something random that just isn't, like, that's not normal. It's just, you know, it would be really funny just to have rockets. And then he would, like, add that to it. It would be really funny just throwing knives at each other. And then, like, he would add that to it.
Dude, that's like, awesome. He just,
it was just, like, in a week. He, like, made it in a week.
Dude,
so dumb.
When you think of, like, the grassroots of playing with your friends multiplayer games, that is exactly what comes to mind.
GoldenEye. Yep. He created everything we know today multiplayer.
That's awesome. Yeah, good for that dude. Whoever he is, good for him.
Yeah. Good for him. So we had something else to talk about today.
We do.
So I'll tell you this. I feel like I saw the name maybe somewhere a long time ago, like maybe early on when they were talking about it, but it didn't ring a bell or do anything, but the name just seemed familiar. But then Dana just recently was like, hey, did you see this preview? And she showed me the preview for Lock and Key on Netflix. And I was like, I mean, it looks pretty crazy. It looks all right. I don't know. Because it just seems so wild. And
it is wild.
And then you told me that Joe Hill wrote it. It was a comic by Joe Hill like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And now knowing that it's Joe Hill, I'm a lot more intrigued by it. A lot more.
Yeah. So.
But you said you read it.
I did. Yeah. I read the first three or four runs of it because there's a bunch of them. But it started in 2008. And basically, it's about a family who the dad, the patriarch, gets like murdered violently in front of all of them. And they move across the country to this house that has a name. It's called Key House. And it's where him and his brother grew up, and they've got all these weird, like, kind of memories of it. And the house isn't necessarily haunted.
Do you ever feel like you should name your house because nothing good can absolutely happen until your name has a house? I mean, your house has a name.
Once your house is named, it's either going to be haunted or it's going
right?
to, like, burn down or something
or
crazy.
It just becomes way cooler of a place.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't even have to be a nice house. I mean, the Burrow, not a nice house.
No,
but
it has a name.
A name, and now it's a cool place. Right?
Yeah. The Dursleys, they live on Privet Street, but nobody cares about that.
Yeah, no one cares. Hill House, boom.
Yeah.
Malfoy Manor, boom.
Yeah. It needs to have a name.
Key House? I mean, come on.
Which is funny because their last name's Locke, so Lock and Key, that's where it comes from.
Perfect.
But
if your house had a name, what would it be? And it can't just be Freeman House. It just doesn't feel right.
No, it'd have to be something rad. I'd have to think about it. The first thing that comes to my mind is Bird Manor.
Bird Manor.
Because everyone calls me Freebird, and my son as well is Freebird, so.
It could be. It could be Bird Manor. There you go.
I'll need to think of a better one. That was the first thing that comes to mind, though.
Manor seems
a little ridiculous for my house. It's under 1,000 square feet.
Right. Mine could be Dill Domain.
That seems weird.
Yeah, that does seem weird.
That seems really weird. I don't know how I like that.
Well,
anyways.
Yeah,
so Lock and Key. First came out in 2008. I read the other ones. The keys all do different things. Like one of them lets you go through any door you've ever seen. So if I were to put it into my bedroom door, but I really wanted to go to the entrance to Nintendo that I've seen in a picture or whatever, as long as I can picture that door, I walk out my door.
That's the best key.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The best key.
So, but you have to have seen the place before. But
like, like even a picture of it?
Even
it
a picture
counts?
Is fine. Yep, as
okay.
long as you can imagine.
Dude,
what
if it's a picture, that's the
done.
Best key. Yeah, dude. I could just travel the world.
Absolutely. So, especially with like Google Maps, dude. You can Google Maps
dude,
exactly where you want to go.
Be like, hey, I want to see inside this house.
Yep.
Pop in. That's
so
a dangerous key is what that is.
That is. There's a key where you open a door, and when you walk through that doorway, basically you die and you become a ghost and you can travel and then come back into your body.
Mm-hmm.
But you can fly at super speeds and spy on people and do all sorts of crap. There's another one that, what does it do? It also, there's one that's goes in the back of people's necks. Like you can put it in the back of anyone's neck.
That was the one that stood out to me, is there was like a keyhole in the back of her neck, and then they turn the key.
Yeah, they go into multiple people's head. It's called the head key. And so you actually go into the mind of someone else. So there are memories you can see and manipulate.
So this sounds very Stephen King-esque, because obviously Joe Hill.
Yep.
And I don't know how many times where they explain stuff and you're like, how are they ever going to put this on film? And that's what this sounds like.
And it's wonderful, though. The way they do it is like, oh, that totally makes sense. That's really cool.
And Joe Hill, from the very few things that I've read from him, he loves alternate dimensions and like
absolutely
a door that leads to somewhere else. He loves doing that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Like there was one book that I read. I can't remember what it was, like a bunch of short stories. A 20th Century Ghost, I think is what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
One of the stories, it was like a younger brother who loved to build cardboard like house maze in the basement. And he was really good. He was like kind of engineer mind. And there was a bully that kept picking on him and his brother. And he built this thing to the point that was so great and elaborate that somehow he opened a dimension and he sent the bully in there, and the bully ended up going into the other dimension. And then he just like destroyed the houses so the bully could never get out.
<That's>
like
crazy.
It was like, what? And then that sounds very Joe Hill-esque.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
But yes. So I've watched 3 episodes. It's fantastic. I like it as good, maybe more so than the books even. Because the books were kind of Stephen King-esque. They were like, they weren't dirty, but they were just kind of odd in a lot of ways. Where you're just like, it's a little aggressive, a little strange, but the show's not.
Do you think these are Joe Hill ideas? Or do you think this is Stephen King telling Joe Hill to write these stories that he's already thought of?
I don't know.
And then just be like, and just do it in your own words kind of thing.
Well, I don't know, but it's interesting you say that, because there's one scene, actually it's a couple of scenes, but it's the same memory that each kid, because there's 3 kids, they all have the same memory of their dad telling this one bedtime story to them, but he told it to them in different ways and they've all seen it different ways. So I wonder if Stephen King, as a parent, used to tell Joe Hill really deep stories and would like change the endings and make them all weirder and different stuff like
Dude,
that.
Yeah.
So that as he got older, he just created his own versions.
Speaking of that, that reminds me, I just read recently, this is sort of off topic. So, you know, Christopher Tolkien died like a couple of weeks ago, and Christopher Tolkien being the son of J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings and all that. And he was the editor of all Tolkien stuff. Like, basically, without him, we would have only Lord of the Rings.
And
I think maybe The Hobbit.
I was saying
that was
Hobbit,
it.
I believe.
And but that's it. Otherwise,
and
we would have
no.
nothing else without Christopher Tolkien, because he's the one who finished those up and made that happen. But apparently, he's so smart that even as like a 3 or 4 year old. Tolkien used to read to him or tell him the stories, whichever it was, of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Like, he would tell him that story as he's writing it,
right,
as like a bedtime story. And there was an example I saw somewhere where Tolkien told him part of the story that about a character that he was talking about earlier, and he changed like the color of his hat or his clothes or something like that without thinking about it. And Christopher Tolkien would just be like, "Whoa, Dad, you said his shirt was green. Now you're saying it's blue." And like would catch him on these things like that early on. And I guess he would just be like, "Dang it, Christopher." And he'd like leave to go like make a note about it so he could change it.
Wow.
Like, that's awesome. And like then he did that for a living later in life.
Your kid is like your editor.
Yeah, he really was.
That's bonkers.
So, yeah. I don't know why that reminded me of that.
I don't know, dude.
I don't know.
there's some sort of creative lunacy inside of epic writers.
It's true. They don't think like the rest of us. That's
they
for
don't.
Sure.
And I can't imagine their kids do either. Like that's a gene. It's not yeah. like talent. It's not whatever. It's a gene. You are yeah. built to be that way.
Yeah. Your imagination never disappears.
Yeah. It just gets stronger and stronger until it consumes you and you die. Like right? in a horrifying way that no one else sees.
Anyway, Lock and Key.
Yeah. It's great.
So you love it.
I do love it. It's really good. It reminds me, it's creepy. It's not creepy. It's
so it almost seemed like it was children friendly. Is it children friendly?
Yeah, I would say. It's not like Goosebumpsy at all. It's more like Haunting of Hill House is what I was going to say. It feels like that.
I was going to say Haunting of Hill House is not children friendly.
No, but it wasn't not children friendly either. Like it wasn't ridiculous amount of cursing or sex or anything like that. It was just creepy.
Okay, well, scare factor, is it children friendly?
Yeah, but really, dude, there was only like one or two jump scares in that whole show, if you think about it.
Hmm.
Like when right. when the girl who was the bent neck lady, when she showed up in the back seat of the car and then they flipped, that was like one of the only jump scares in the whole show. Most of it was like you saw it the whole time. It was just creepy.
But dude, yeah, but the creep factor was high.
It was high. This isn't that creepy.
That whole story of the bent neck lady and how like it totally came full circle was crazy.
Crazy.
Dude, that was awesome the way that they did that.
Yeah, that was
I loved that show. And like every episode they did something slightly different. Like that one long shot episode at the funeral home. Dude, it was so good.
Brilliant.
It was. I can't wait for season two.
But this has that same sort of vibe in okay. a lot of ways, I think.
So it's not like a because it almost reminded me of, you know, the house with the clock in its walls or whatever, like a kids.
No.
Like bright colors and just fantasy land and just like.
Definitely not that. No, it's dark.
Okay. Okay, good.
It's dark.
Good. That's what I was wanting. Good. Okay.
It's Joe Hill for sure. It's
excellent.
Good.
Yes. Can I jump off topic again?
Yeah, dude, I was done with that, actually, because I know we want to keep this episode a normal
well,
length.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up in a minute, but I did want to tell you this. I saw the live-action Aladdin for the first time this last weekend.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm late. I'm late on it. So, and I know that you were telling me about it back then. So, the conclusion that we came up with on it is the first quarter of the movie, we kind of really hated it. Like, okay. like his whole, you know, going through the streets, singing that first song that he sings,
One Jump.
Yeah, One Jump. Like the way that they did it was almost like they were trying to be exactly like the cartoon, but it doesn't work in real life, and it was just really off. It just felt not good. Like they were trying to be too much like the cartoon. And then after that, as soon as the genie showed up, it almost felt like they started taking their own route, using parts from the cartoon to make their own story work. And then all of a sudden it seemed a lot more original and a lot better and way more entertaining. And then we really actually enjoyed the last three quarters of the movie, like a lot. But that first quarter, I was like, this is not good. Like I didn't like it at all.
We all left liking the movie. It's not nearly as good as the cartoon. It's just not.
Oh, no.
We all left liking it. That was good. Although I did see the other day that Mushu is not going to show up in the live-action Mulan.
Yeah, which is so dumb.
How?
Like that is Mulan.
How are you going to make that movie interesting?
That's like making Aladdin without the genie.
Yeah. as soon as I read it, I saw Twitter posts that were like, shame on you, shame on your cow.
For real. Dude, that's dumb. They have to at least make a reference to it.
I don't know. Dude, they ruined Iago in Aladdin, though.
They did. Iago was lame. He was a waste. Jafar, he was okay. Like, he obviously wasn't as awesome as a cartoon, but
not even close.
But I thought that Will Smith did an excellent job as Genie.
He was a fantastic.
He did
genie.
A good genie, and because he didn't try to be Robin Williams. He did his own thing.
Right.
And I thought that they did a really good job with that, and I actually really, really enjoyed the last three quarters of it. It felt like its own thing. Like, it was the same story, but their own thing for it.
Right.
Instead of trying to be exact. Like Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson. Like, that just felt like the cartoon. It just felt like the cartoon. It wasn't great. It was vanilla. It wasn't amazing or anything. And the reason I brought all this up is they're in talks with making a sequel to Aladdin. And I love how they do that. We're going to make a sequel to, like, we don't already know what the sequel to Aladdin is.
Yeah.
Return of Jafar. Like, that's what we already know. Unless they're going to make something completely off that.
They're skipping Return of Jafar and they're doing Prince of Thieves. Or
Prince
of Thieves.
King of Thieves. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going straight to Aladdin 3.
Dude, I honestly liked Return of Jafar.
Yeah, it was good. I don't remember it very much.
I mean,
I remember liking it.
Robin Williams wasn't Genie anymore, so it kind of ruined that, but I still liked it. But yeah, I talked about that on the air. I was like, oh, a sequel to Aladdin. I wonder what that could be. obviously.
Yeah.
Dumb.
I don't know. But, dude, they've got so many live actions coming out.
I know. I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I've heard one of the reasons that they're doing that is it's like a license thing. They have to keep making them to keep the license to them or something like that.
I would believe that.
I don't know. Could be. I think, here's my thing though, is I wish that they would stop making them over about newer movies that like haven't really lost a lot and go make older ones. Like they did Dumbo. That was awesome.
Cinderella. That was the first one that kicked it off and it was great.
Yeah. So, they need to redo those old ones that have lost a lot where like you watch it and you're like, this is just
Sleeping
lost.
Beauty, Snow White.
Pinocchio would be amazing, dude.
Pinocchio would be so dark.
Do a horror Pinocchio. And
R-rated.
I'd be all over that movie.
Those donkey boys are going to haunt your nightmares.
Oh my gosh. That would be so freaking creepy. Yeah, man. Do that one. Sword in the Stone even would be pretty cool.
If they did it right, that would be cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. They should do those because these new, like Aladdin has lost nothing. You can go back and watch, like any kid these days could go watch Aladdin and be like, that was amazing because
it's
lost nothing. Yeah. It's just as good as any like Frozen and anything like that.
I can't believe you didn't use the segue, and it may be because it would take too long, so we won't get on that topic very heavily, but I can't believe you didn't segue with Tolkien into Disney because Disney was talking about buying the Tolkien library after he passed
away. I won't talk about that. I won't let it be a thing. I refuse because the second they do, I kind of hate it now. I can't allow that to happen.
I don't know how
brain.
They can do it with Amazon still in the process of making their show.
They better friggin' not do that, dude. I would lose my mind.
I know.
I would. I would lose my mind. Don't take it from me. They did that with Star Wars.
They did.
Don't do that.
They did.
The only one I would be okay if they did it with would be Harry Potter. Because, like, it's half
it's
there
already.
Anyway.
Yeah, it like, is. Absolutely.
It half felt like a Disney movie anyway, so I would be okay with that one. But do not touch Lord of the Rings. You would ruin everything about it. It would no longer have its awesome feel.
Right.
They would make it too happy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a good place to stop. We did good. Kept to our time. Arr. Yarp.
Arr. Yarp.
All right. So you can find us lots of places. Really just anywhere. If you find the internet, you found us because we are the
easiest place to listen to us if you're not already listening there is iTunes. I think that's probably the easiest one.
Probably.
The second easiest one, Spotify.
Yeah.
Third easiest one.
We're doing power rankings. the Nerd
I post them on our Facebook page too. So if you want updates when I do new episodes, go to the Nerdversation. Facebook page, and you can see I'll put like new episode. You can click on there.
Rock 98.5 page or Facebook page. TheNerdVersation.blogspot.com. I mean, Spotify, if we didn't say that, I think we did. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
I did.
SoundCloud. I don't know. Where do we
Podomatic. Don't go to Podomatic. We just use Podomatic to post other places.
We're using them. We're horrible people.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, find us lots of places.
Yeah. So, all right. This was good. Lock and Key. I'm excited.
It's great. You guys all need to watch it.
Okay, then.
We're Nerdversation.